Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Casey has killed four people. Rip has killed two people. And Lloyd killed Fred. What's seven
all
murders?
All things considered. Hey, y'all. It's Addison Haker here. You're listening to The Dutton Rules, a Yellowstone podcast. And today I'm here with co-host Billy Dukes. Billy, this was the last episode of season one of Yellowstone. What was the major takeaway that we just need to really, like, if anyone, you know, took away from this episode, what would be the one thing, like the big heavy hitter?
Well, there was one thing, no doubt about it. And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't Dan Jenkins swinging from the tree. It wasn't Beth's emotional meltdown, although that was important. It's not Rip hitting the strip club in search of good help, which was curious, I feel like. And it wasn't the governor asking John Dutton to resign either. To me, the big takeaway from episode 9 of season 1 is Jamie's decision to speak with the reporter, Sarah. And remember, it's Jamie, Sarah, and Christina in that room as he decides to open up about his family's history. And also remember, Sarah has that girlfriend back home.
Interesting. Okay. Well, before we dive into that, I just want to, if anyone's listening and they've been listening for a while, you might be wondering, okay, wait, y'all, what happened to the trivia? So trivia is still happening. Don't you worry. But we're going to now put that at the end of our podcast. So you will get an affirmation potentially from Billy Dukes that is still all staying, but we're just moving it towards the end. We're going to get to the heavy hitter of the actual Yellowstone episode on the front end this time around. As always, staff at tasteofcountry.com is where you can email your thoughts on the episodes and all the things.
It's a good trivia question this week, too. I'm a little nervous that we're going to give it away somewhere throughout the episode, but it's a risk I'll take.
Should we start? So episode 9 was The Unraveling Part 2. And there's definitely – I have some points I want to get to. They're kind of all over the place. So I don't know if you want to start us off as a general summary of what happened. And then I can add my moments where I went, what?
Sure. Okay, just like that. Okay. Episode 9 starts off with back on the mountaintop. Rip had shot at the bear overnight. The bear got eaten by wolves, and we get Donnie Haskell, who's the sheriff. This is really his first introduction. We saw him the previous episode as well, but John Dutton realizes that the sheriff was hiding the gun casings that would have proved Rip's innocence, and he kind of wants to know why the sheriff's doing that. Interestingly, he doesn't really press the sheriff too hard on this. Although it seems to be a really, really big deal. Like, and even the DNR guy doesn't really make too big of a deal of it. Pay attention to that because it leads to some big plot lines in season 2. From there, we go to back to the Dutton Ranch where Beth Dutton's assistant Jamie is vomiting off the porch after his night with Dan Jenkins' wife, which was kind of amusing. And John tells Beth, go fire Jamie. He's done being the family attorney. They got to move on to find something else, and she gleefully goes to do that. There's some general kind of bunkhouse shenanigans going on throughout this episode. None of it is too important until the very end when Walker and Beth are pressing each other up against the barn. you have thoughts on that, do you?
I have thoughts. I just didn't know. My mouth literally dropped open. I had no clue that had ever happened. So, you know what? Oh, wait. Can I keep going?
Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick. This is technically a little bit of a spoiler for anyone who didn't watch. Was it season 4 with Beth and Walker in the bunk? And sorry, not the bunkhouse, the barn where he's serenading her?
Right.
Right? Okay, so that scene. I think it was season 4. Maybe not. But so that scene where he's consoling her, because she asks him to play something sad. So he's like, okay, I'll do it. You know, plays a sad song. And you see Rip kind of in the door frame, like the other barn or whatever. I don't know if he came. I think he might have come out of the bunkhouse, actually. That is what he came out of. And he sees them and he gets upset at that scene. Now that I know that they had a little moment, like, to me, that takes on a different meaning than when I first watched it, having not watched season one.
Are we to believe that Beth and Walker just kissed? Or are we led to believe that they kind of went all the way in that relationship? I mean, Yellowstone's not really shy about showing the sex scenes, but they just stops at a kiss there.
I think kiss. They don't normally insinuate, like, if it happens, they're going to show it. Like, there's not many times that you're left like, ooh, did they? Did they not? You know?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
I can't think of an example.
I tend to agree. And I'm amazed that they both sort of stopped, because it seemed like a pretty hot, steamy kiss. And both of them, like, just, I mean, what do? They just walk away, went back about their business. I found that kind of odd. Maybe they just had to cut it for time or something like that in the original scenes.
Is there any, I got really passionate about that moment, but you were halfway through explaining the rest of episode nine.
Well, I mentioned Rip going to the strip club to kind of look for some good help. Mm-hmm. And he's got a plot to kind of smoke out the Dan Jenkins, Tom Rainwater plan that involves a bartender at the strip club, I think, although she might have done some dancing, whose name is Avery, who you may recognize if you're a longtime Yellowstone fan or if you just picked up in season four or season five. And I know we're going to talk to her in quite a bit. There is a little bit of John Dutton, Casey, and Monica drama at the end. It seems like Monica kind of realizes she's made a huge, huge mistake and taking her life in a bad direction. Casey, meanwhile, has moved back into the bunkhouse, so he's now back on the Dutton property. John kind of welcomes him back, and he decides to sleep. Well, he picks his bunk and kind of goes from there. He declines an offer to sleep in the house. He's going to sleep in the bunkhouse because he feels that's what a cowboy is. And then finally, the last scene is, well, not the last scene, second to last scene is Jamie agreeing to talk to the reporter, who outs herself as a reporter and tells him, you know, you can get either on board as a source of this article or you're going to be named in this article. And then the final scene is the cowboys kidnap Dan Jenkins and tie him up to a tree, put a lasso around his neck, and the horse he's sitting on takes off. So we're led to believe he hangs to death.
Now you're saying led to believe. Does he end up? So I had no clue that had happened. I mean, I knew of Dan Jenkins, obviously watching now season one, but when we had previously talked during season four, yada, 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 like you had mentioned him, but obviously I never saw him. So yeah, I did not realize the cowboys were the ones, like, they're the reason he's dead, but you said reason to believe. So
it's definitely a worry about it. Yeah, we definitely need to worry about it. I mean, I think we toe this line here when we're sort of going back and recapping and reviewing like a series and a season that aired 5 years ago. Like, if you want to know, just search up IMDb and to see if Dan Jenkins is a part of season two. Think that's the best way to find out there. I won't give it away for everybody who's just joining us and is really fresh into season one. But it's definitely a worry about it. His role is critical.
I think what was important, a worry about it in general with the dynamics of John and Sheriff Haskell, was kind of the opening of the door to see that there's tension there, right? This is kind of like the first time that we say that, like, oh man, there's going to be there's not a like-minded, like forces, I guess maybe.
We really learn a lot about them in a short amount of time. We kind of learn that they've been longtime friends who have been allies, maybe even allies in some kind of business that is a little bit left of the law, even though he's the sheriff. Yeah. Maybe they're on the outs a little bit. John certainly doesn't approve of what he did to Rip. And the relationship, I mean, it has its ups and downs from here, I think. I mean, Sheriff Haskell sticks around for several seasons, and they do work together in some really important ways, even in the coming season or two. But they also have moments where there's some friction, and the sheriff's job as a lawman butts heads with John's seeming willingness to go around the law in any way that benefits him. So it's kind of a curious relationship, but I think at the bottom of it, at the heart of it, I think they are friends.
Interesting. I don't like. I don't think I would have necessarily gotten that from that episode, but
well, no, but I mean, think ahead to what we see and how, and from season four or season five, and the sheriff's kind of final scene on the series. Like that was a really a sort of a tender scene, and you felt for John Dutton in that case. So that's why I sort of say that there must have been a friendship history.
The past two episodes are definitely episodes where I touched on it last episode, the last podcast episode, that I really understand and see how Jamie like has this now kind of resentment, like why the relationship come season four, season five is the way and the reason that it is. I mean, the fact that John literally in this episode said, the only thing we have in common is our last name. If my parent or even sibling told me that, I mean, that is a very like damaging statement.
Are you satisfied with the amount that we know of their backstory that sort of is sort of supposed to meant to justify where they're at now? I mean, right now they're at this breaking point where the relationship is unrepairable. And we've seen a little bit from the backstory that sort of explains it, but most of it has just been from the past several weeks within the Yellowstone. Like, are you satisfied with how they sort of explain that out to us at this point?
No, because I think even the whole, oh gosh, season four with Jamie's actual dad coming back and all the above, that's when which I guess that's a little bit of a spoiler, but to your point of people at this point, people have already most likely seen season one, but
a little bit of a spoiler.
I know. Sorry. I mean, not sorry, but yeah, anyways, I don't even know if I can continue that. No, I can. I learned more in later seasons than I do in season one. Like I feel the knowledge I already had suffices what they're giving me now because I already knew. But if I was coming in brand new, I don't think I have enough to go off of like the understanding of why it ends up being the way it is.
Yeah, the things that come next seem to be a byproduct of how we've gotten to the point we're at right now. It doesn't seem to necessarily be an extension of this sort of years or decade long sort of battle of trust and loyalty. It seems like Jamie has been really loyal to the family in his way. And then John has been really selfish in his own ways. So, you know, we always go back and forth about whether or not we're Team Jamie or not. But right now I'm Team Jamie. I'm in. Team Jamie. Give me the t-shirt.
Same. Same.
But, you know,
that's a very strong statement for me to make because I was not Team Jamie in season four and then the season five, the part A, if that's what we're calling it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I have a bit of a hot take.
Ooh, okay.
Dan Jenkins, with the exception of maybe Casey, Dan Jenkins is the most honest character on the show. Not sure if you agree.
Edit out my long silence. I'm marinating on the thought, Billy, okay? I mean, yeah, I guess in the sense of like we know exactly where he's at. I mean, shady and all, like wrong and all. I mean, we do know where he's at.
I just don't think he's a bad guy. He's a villain, but he's not a bad guy. Like the Duttons are kind of the bad guys. They're the ones running way outside the confines of the law and with, you know, murder and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Dan Jenkins is just kind of trying to build his development, and you might not like his what he stands for or who he is, but like he's kind of just trying to be a businessman in America.
Yeah, he hasn't killed anyone yet that I know of. No.
No, he hasn't. There wasn't. And another thing I noticed about Yellowstone is there's surprisingly few deaths in season one of Yellowstone. We have this in mind, like it's this murderous show where like people are dying all the time. I added it up. I did a whole thing where I did a body count of season one of Yellowstone. Let me see what I can find here. Yellowstone total kills. Casey has killed four people. Rip has killed two people. And Lloyd killed Fred. That's all we have in season one. Now, we do have the two tourists who die. So I guess you got to throw those in there. But they weren't murdered. They were more just a result of an accident. But boy, four, five, six, just seven people in 10 episodes. That's not that bloody of a series, in my opinion.
That's not that bad.
That's not that bad. What's seven murders?
All things considered. No, well, yeah. That's nothing. Billy's got 10. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, who hasn't killed seven people by this point in their lives? You know?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I think this is turning the wrong direction. Back on, not to completely subject change, but let's just talk about the fact that this episode I learned that changing a horse's barn name is a bad thing.
I didn't know that either. Do you think they made that superstition up?
I don't know. Just to mess with Jamie? That's never been a thought but it's kind of like, is it bad to change? Like, let's say I rescued a puppy and its name is whatever, George. And I decide, no, you look more like a Garth. Like if I'm going with the country theme here, is that bad?
No, because shelters do it all the time. We rescued our dog from an animal, a golden retriever rescue, and they had changed her name from Sophie to Cricket because they can only have one name, like one name per dog ever in their system.
Yeah.
And then we pretty quickly changed it from Cricket to Daisy.
Oh.
And we have not yet been smote.
No bad luck or anything like that?
No, I don't
like
think
that.
So.
Yeah, interesting. Staff at tasteofcountry.com, if you have just, you know, grown up in the horse world or in the horse world now, whether that be ranching or even like equestrian, I would love to know, is it a superstition that it's bad? I guess we're talking about to change the name of your horse. If you received it as a certain name, were you going to add something to that?
Nope. I was going to ask if we could talk about Avery now.
Well, one thing I want to talk about before we get to Avery, because there was a moment, it's a very small moment. I just want to touch on it because I think it's a big deal. Up until now, Rip has called John. He's called him Mr. Dutton. Mr. Dutton. And this episode, or sir, anything but John.
Yeah.
In this episode, John corrects him during one of his statements, and he goes, call me John. Like this, I feel like is a very big moment. I even sometimes feel like this as growing up in Austin, Texas, it's yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Like I still, yes, ma'am, you know, Mr. I mean, not yet. I mean, yeah, yes, yes, ma'am. And no, sir, whatever, but it's Mr. and Mrs. Whoever, like Mr. Hager, whatever. Like I still will call my parents' friends. And whenever they like say, you know, hey, it's Cheryl or something like that. Like it's a really big deal. So for me watching this, I was like, this was a really big deal that Mr. Dutton is letting him call him John.
Just to a little footnote, I know you're very happy and proud of Texas, but Texas isn't the only place where they have basic manners. Like I grew up in Michigan and I still refer to my parents as Mr. and Mrs. You know, their friends as Mr. and Mrs. such and such. It's not like Texas is this great state where were you feeling a little down on Texas that you need to plump the state up a little bit? But to your general point, I agree. Okay, it seemed like an emotional moment that sort of underscored what John thinks he's going through with the cancer, and he's experiencing some pain in the blood and the cancer coming back is what we're led to believe is happening at this point. And it also lets Rip know that things are probably much more serious with John's health than John's letting on. I wondered, and I'm anxious to maybe watch some of the later seasons to see if Rip continues to call him John throughout some of these seasons, because I don't remember Rip calling him John. I remember him still calling him Sir and Mr. Dutton and things like that. So
yeah,
maybe that didn't stick for Rip.
Still has a little bit of anxiousness and no, Sir.
Yeah.
But on that note, you can get to Avery if you'd like to.
Well, I was really, this is, we're going to have a little bit of a spoiler here, I think, for Avery. And if, you know, it's not a huge detail, I don't think, from season, this would be season four. Yeah, season four. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is a huge detail, but if you just can't stand it, skip ahead a few minutes. We put the time codes in the description section of the podcast for a reason. But Avery pops up here, and what happens is Rip goes to the strip club because he's specifically looking for her. He's not just looking for any old woman because he needs someone to sort of spy on Dan Jenkins and Thomas Rainwater to find out what they're planning. That works, and he brings that back to John Dutton. He also agrees to give Avery a job in the ranch. And she comes into the bunkhouse, and she throws her stuff down and takes a bunk, and people recognize her as a stripper at the strip club or an exotic dancer. And she immediately decides to break the awkwardness and takes her clothes off in front of them and then threatens them if they are ever caught staring at her too long. But then what's interesting to me is Casey walks in. And I thought about that scene from season four where we learned that Avery had long had a crush on Casey. Uh-huh. And at the time I was watching that on season four, I'm like, where did this come from? I don't remember Avery having a crush on Casey. Lo and behold, when you watch this in season one, she has gaga eyes. I mean, she is just drooling over herself in love. Taylor Sheridan planted that seed, held on to it for 3.5 years, and finally let it blossom for a small tiny episode in season four.
Right? I also thought that. I was like, oh, two things. Number one, I was like, oh, this is where the little love, like you just said, you know, budded for Avery. But then second, she was the first female to be let into the bunkhouse. So I was like, she was the reason why the other girls were let in. And then the draw, like, you just couldn't, co-ed just doesn't really work in that sense. If we've learned anything, you can try.
Well, it works out for Teeter.
Yeah, but she's such a bro in the most amazing way. But like, I guess I'm mainly thinking Laramie. And then who was Jimmy's girlfriend? Grace. Oh my gosh.
What was her name?
Emily. Nope. No, that's
Emily's his wife.
Yeah. Okay. Ava? Anyways, whatever.
Amy?
That's it.
No, that's
okay.
Not
well,
either.
This is, let's not waste our time trying to figure out the name. But okay, outside of Avery, seems so far like she's a little bit like a Teeter, which I just realized I didn't even know how Teeter got to the ranch. So I'm actually really excited about that. But she reminds me a little bit more of a Teeter. But like I said, this is an episode where we see like, okay, the dynamic of the bunkhouse is going to change.
So keep an eye on Avery. Okay. She's a little bit of a don't worry about it because ultimately she doesn't really play that big of a role in the plot. But mm-hmm. she's also the source of one of the biggest loose ends, I think, mm-hmm. in Yellowstone history. And that's coming up in season two.
Oh, okay, cool. I was like, I don't know what loose end you're talking about. That would be why. Yeah.
Nope, it's coming up.
What about, do we need to worry about Walker and Beth?
I think that sets up a little bit of the tension between Walker and Rip, which was already existent. You know, Rip was already pretty suspicious of Walker, so it sets up that in some subtle ways. But I think maybe also what it does is it sort of further illustrates this sort of emotional breakdown that Beth is kind of quietly going through. And I don't think I realized this the first time I watched this, like to the extent to which she's having this transition throughout season one. We saw some really sort of painful moments where she's in tears or she's really having this emotional catharsis. I think she even says she stopped drinking at one point during season one. Like, this is a real deal. Like, she's really having sort of like this midlife crisis right in front of us throughout season one. And, you know, men may go get a perm and a Corvette. Beth kisses cowboys. That's her deal.
A perm. That was an interesting choice. But did have you gotten a perm, Billy?
No, not me myself, but I think that was maybe a popular thing in like the 80s of men who were like 40 years old. I remember my dad had a friend that got a perm and a Corvette, actually.
Okay.
and then a divorce.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Well, on that note, Billy, what else? from episode 9. I feel like I've expressed my most noteworthy ones. Were there any noteworthy moments for you? Also, I realized that whole sentence I did not breathe.
Well, we should mention continue. Briefly that about Casey moving back into the bunkhouse. We talked about that, but Monica's sort of realization that she has made a poor decision. Grandpa Felix wheels her back to his house. Tate immediately starts breaking down along the fence line. Her grandmother or mother gets wheeled out, and she's obviously something of a vegetable and not totally with it. Monica realizes that her life has taken a turn for the worse, and I'm led to believe that she's going to go looking for Casey once again, to some degree.
I am too.
Coming forward.
I am too.
I think that's all I have in terms of that.
where was I headed? Oh, what can we expect? And actually, real quick, before we can, I kind of touch on what we can expect, because this is the end of season one. So before we get into, will there be a season two? Just want to remind listeners or even viewers, because this is also on YouTube, we do recap videos weekly as well as this podcast over on YouTube. So always recommend subscribing and hitting that notifications bell, because then you will know exactly when they come out, so you're up to date. But also, as always, we greatly, greatly appreciate all the ratings and reviews on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We definitely look at those, and they help. So also share it with a friend. I'm a big share to people who might be interested. We really appreciate y'all, and it definitely does not go unnoticed. And staff at Taste of staff at Taste of Country. Oh my gosh.
Hit the reset button. Staff at tasteofcountry.com. If you have any questions or comments or corrections, certainly we'll take those as well. If you have them, and we're not ashamed to be wrong from time to time. And we did get one thing right though. Both theorized that season two would follow season one. That was not made official until just this last Friday. Finally, Yellowstone announced that season two is going to begin immediately. This Sunday, season two will begin and presumably run in a similar fashion like season one did on CBS. So we'll start to pick up on that. But I think also we're going to start to look at and talk about Bass Reeves as well.
Yes.
How much time we spend each episode talking about either of those kind of is TBD. We'll listen to your feedback and see where you're at in deciding that. But that'll definitely be a focus. I'm excited to have new content or new programming from this universe.
Same, absolutely. And especially like we've talked about, people who've seen Yellowstone, they might not necessarily want to listen back about season one, but we have a whole other Taylor Sheridan universe thing to go down. So yeah, pumped about that. So Billy.
Well, hold on. Next week, we have kind of a special episode that we're going to do. We're going to try to shoehorn in a little bit of a catch up on where the Yellowstone cast is.
Yes.
Currently, what they've been kind of up to, the actual actors and what they've been up to during this strike downtime. One member started a coffee company. A couple have started in some various movies. One person released a country music album and is going to tour, and it's not Kevin Costner. And we'll kind of go from there. So we're going to hunt down the goods on what everybody's been up to during this time.
I'm pumped. That will be really fun. Yeah, you love the stars. You fall in love with the actors and their characters that they play. And so it's fun to see, what is Rip Wheeler, a.k.a. Cole Hauser, up to on a monthly basis with his actual family when he's, not on the Dunn Ranch. So, yeah, I'm super pumped about that one for sure.
Yep.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Should we get into trivia? We've saved the best for last.
And we didn't spoil the answer.
To be honest, I don't remember what their trivia question was. So,
well, no. I mean, I'm talking about the trivia question that I'm going to present this week. I didn't spoil the answer.
Oh,
you'll
okay,
see.
Cool.
Okay, so last week's trivia question was, at the end of episode 8, the bunkhouse boys tell Jimmy that throwing his new cowboy hat on the bed is bad luck. Mm. What is the origin of that superstition?
Yeah, what was it?
Bed lice. The idea... You couldn't have gone
YouTube
from 60
people,
to
you're
zero
welcome.
Any quicker.
That was such a dad, like, boo! Yeah. I was expecting something different. All right, well, I mean, don't get me wrong, cool, but...
Well, not bed lice. I guess hair lice is more accurate, but the idea that the lice in your hat might get on your bed. Although, now that I think about it, so would just lying your head on the pillow. But that's what the internet told me. Yeah, so we're going to go with it.
Also, if you have lice, like, there's a whole different issue that we need to be taking care of. Yeah, it's going to get out. I've never had, knock on wood, I've never had lice, but you have to infumigate literally everything. So no, I'm sorry, that theory has some holes.
That's
in
bed
it.
Bugs. That's bed bugs.
You no, don't have to. Lice as well.
No, you just pick it off that person and anywhere else it gets.
Baloney. I call, no.
You don't have to call the fumigation lice. Service just because of head lice.
No. I'm not saying call the fumigation services, but what I'm saying is, like, you have to, like, trash bag all, like, the bedding and all that kind of stuff.
No, that's bed bugs. You can do that with bed bugs.
Staff at tasteofcountry.com if you want to fight with us.
All right, if you want to jump in on that.
I'm just kidding. Wait, who won?
I forgot about that. That's the most important part. Congratulations from John. John, living in Indiana.
Dutton?
No, he didn't give a last name. John knew that, or at least he Googled the same thing as I did. Congratulations, John, on your fast Googling skills or your knowledge of either head lice or cowboy hats or horses. You are the big winner. Today is going to be, you are a pillar of your community, John. Your family, friends, and neighbors will follow you as you lead them through your own personal or bureaucratic battle. John, J-O-H-N, not one of those J-O-N guys who skips on the H. We don't trust those guys. Congratulations, John. You're a big winner.
Thank you, John.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I still have some qualms about that, but the logistics. But we'll save that for another day. As always, y'all, thank you so much for tuning in and listening. Are you done? Oh, Billy is raising his hand. Yes.
This week's trivia question.
Oh. I'm so sorry. And you're really excited about it. Let's hear it.
What is Avery's job at the Yellowstone? What was she hired to do? Not too hard, right? You probably knew it off the top of your head.
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm.
No. You got to talk, Addison. This is a podcast. Most people are listening. You can't just nod and grunt.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yep.
You sound like...
I'm hungry. I think I do, but I don't want to say it.
No,
so
don't
I'm just
say
going,
it.
I'll just marinate on it until next week, and then I'll voice if I was correct or not.
Drop it in the comment section of this video or staff at tasteofcountry.com if you would like to email it in. The first person correct will be next week's John, and we'll give you a little love, and we'll kind of go from there.
This episode of the Dutton Rules Yellowstone podcast is another entertaining Town Square Media podcast. Thanks for listening.
Entertaining? That's the best you got?
Invigorating podcast.
Yeah, you used that one before. You got to find something better next week, guys.
See y'all next week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.